So this morning, turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. For those that have tuned in via the internet, we welcome you to our morning service here at Grace Bible Church. We appreciate you tuning in. And we have a lot of people that watch on Sunday morning. We're thankful for that. We've got some groups. Got a note this morning from the folks up in Jackson, Ohio, and they're faithful to watch every Sunday, and we appreciate them and their faithfulness, and certainly hope they're going to plan on being down, some of them, for our Bible conference in September, which is September 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. So put that on your calendar and make plans to attend. If you're watching via the website, their information is out there about our Bible conference, and we're looking forward to a great time. Also, if anybody is watching this morning locally, or any of our local folks, sometimes we get messages where people are at home and have seen the broadcast. I wanted to mention to you that we're going to have a memorial service tonight at 6 o'clock for Brother Larry Hogue here in the auditorium, and we would love for you to come be a part of that. So for anybody that can, we would love to have you. I want to talk to you this morning about the hope of eternal life. Here at Grace Bible Church, we've had in the last 18 months several people that have departed this life to go and be with the Lord. And over the years, you know, you have people die, in the congregation that die, and it's always a heart-wrenching thing to lose those that we love, no matter what their age is. But it seems that we've had quite a number in, like, I think it's been like 18 months that four people have departed this life, some in their early 60s all the way up to their 80s. And so I want to talk to you this morning because of that, and the thing was, we talked about the service tonight. I wanted to talk to you about the hope of eternal life, because as we get older, and even at a young age, people question at times their destiny. Vince talked this morning about those that don't have a hope, those that don't understand that we're in Christ. We off the air there, Will? Did I get crooked? Man, I hate it when I'm crooked. Just turn it around the other way. Just turn it straight up and down. There you go. You got the wide angle lens going there, Will? You need it for me. All right. Welcome all of you on Facebook Live. Titus chapter 1. I want to talk to you about the hope of eternal life. And that's a wonderful hope. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. And it is, to me, a miserable existence for a person that's an atheist, for a person that is an unbeliever, for a person that has no hope beyond this life. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we do have hope. Paul, in Titus chapter 1, in verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Seven times the Apostle Paul mentions the phrase eternal life. Interestingly enough, it's never mentioned in the Old Testament, and yet resurrection is mentioned in the Old Testament, but the phrase eternal life is never used. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's the question is asked of Jesus at least four times, what must I do to have eternal life? Some of those accounts are of the same individual, no doubt. But let's just look at those. Go back to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. You know, for those that are religious, let's say, not necessarily saved, but religious people generally have that question in their heart and their mind, what must I do to have eternal life? Unfortunately, many believe that in order to obtain eternal life, there are things they have got to do, things they have to achieve in their flesh to merit eternal life with God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Throughout the ages, the question has been, will we live again? Is there a resurrection? God Almighty promised the nation Israel that He was going to raise them up, and that they would live again, and that their bones would come forth from the grave and would be wrapped in new flesh and so forth. And that was their hope. In Matthew chapter 19, very familiar passage, verse 16, the Bible says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now you see, that question right there typifies the mindset of mankind even today. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Later on, he tells him, I've already kept the commandments. And he said, well, if you'll be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give alms to the poor, and he went away sorrowful. Look, if you will, over in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10. In Mark 10, verse 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Look over in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, notice there in verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. And usually this is where you insert the lawyer joke, but let's just bypass that. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Look in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Verse 18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So we see that question is asked, and as I said, not only was it asked in the past, it's asked today by many people, if not audibly in their mind, what must I do to have eternal life? And depending on what church you go to or what group you're affiliated with, you may get all kind of answers. Some people would say you'd have to be baptized and repent of your sins. Some would say you'd have to be part of their particular religion or their group. their denomination. Others would say that you've got to do good works. You've got to, at the judgment, your good is going to be weighed against your bad. And if the good outweighs the bad, then you'll inherit eternal life. Well, it's a wonderful thing to know today that our hope of eternal life has nothing to do with what we do in our flesh, but has everything to do with the fact that Christ went to a cross, died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day, and by faith in that and that alone can we have the hope of eternal life. We can possess eternal life. As a matter of fact, if we're saved, we already have it. We just haven't received the redemption of our body. What must I do to have eternal life? Paul said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now, you know, when you think about the fact that Christ died for our sins and our hope of eternal life is in Christ, I appreciated some things Vince pointed out this morning in the Sunday school hour about those that God called, those that He chose, those that He saved. And I thought about, He mentioned, for example, people in the Bible, like Rahab the harlot. And I began to think about man's attitude toward sinners, toward people that perhaps lead a more sinful lifestyle than we do or you do or I do. You drive through certain parts of town and you see prostitutes on the street corner. And you think, what a despicable lifestyle. Or you see, you look down an alley and there's a drunk sitting there with maybe wine or beer bottles around him, and he's unshaven and dirty and filthy and stinking. Or you see on TV a drug bust, and they've gone into one of these drug houses, and the filth, and people with sores all over them, and they're addicted to drugs and needle marks in their arms. Are you here on TV like this past week about a man that was convicted of rape? He had raped several women here in Chattanooga, including an 85-year-old woman. You hear about people breaking into people's homes and taking things, or going into a convenience store and holding a gun in somebody's face, and you see the video of that, and you think, what a despicable, terrible person. You hear about people that have, here in Chattanooga, on a regular basis, died from gunshot wounds, drive-by shootings, murderers, people with no regard for life just drive by and shoot people, kill them. We hear politicians on TV and they're being questioned before Congress, and they're liars and cheats and thieves and crooked. You hear about people that have defrauded old people and lost all their money. And yeah, you even see these TV preachers on TV. Say, well, why would you lump them in with all these others? Because I got news for you, folks. Everything I just described there, Jesus Christ died for. Jesus Christ became our sin. He became the sin of the harlot, of the prostitute, of the drug addict, of the drunk, of the liar, of the robber, of the murderer, of the crook, and every individual that's lost today. Jesus Christ died for those sins and paid for them at Calvary. Amen. And if a person has trusted that and perhaps went back into one of those lifestyles, it doesn't change the fact that the moment they trusted Christ, they were sealed into the day of redemption, and they too have the hope of eternal life. Not because of what they have done, but because of what our Savior did on our behalf 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross for our sins. Paul said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I used to read that and wonder how that could be. What is he talking about when he promised Christ eternal life before the world began? Well, I want you to look over in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. There's no doubt that God Almighty had a plan to save all of mankind after the nation Israel rejected him, and it existed before the world began. It's as though in my mind that God Almighty, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit convened and had an agreement, a meeting there. And God Almighty promised to save people like you and I by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, if Christ, by faith, would step out of heaven's glory, become a man, take upon Him the form of a servant, and be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God Almighty promised him if he would do that, he would raise him up, and through that would provide eternal life for you and I. What a plan. And it all happened before the world began. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Now notice this, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What was His eternal purpose? It was to save people. Think about this. Think about 1 Corinthians 1, who is He called, and so forth. And think about that in eternity. There's that individual that the world didn't believe there was a chance. There wasn't a single chance that they would ever end up in heaven. And they're there by the grace of God. According to why? The eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, when Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle of Jesus Christ, servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after God. You see, that's how you get eternal life, folks. You just simply acknowledge the truth. You accept it. You receive it. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And then notice what he says in verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. You see, without raising up the Apostle Paul, without raising up an individual to proclaim God's eternal purpose, we would have never known about it. I mean, you get over there to the book of Acts, and you read about, throughout the Old Testament scriptures, God promises to the nation Israel. You get over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read verses like, salvation is of the Jew. And you find that those only Gentiles that got saved were those that blessed Israel or took a submissive role to Israel. But then there's people like you and I who were heathens, idol worshipers, Gentiles in the flesh. And we're without hope and without God in the world. So God raised up a man, and that man was Paul. The idea that Peter and Paul preached the same gospel is a deceptive doctrine today. Well, they both preached the death, burial, and resurrection, but what did Peter say? It is through faith in His name. It was by simply believing that He was the Messiah. Listen, folks, nobody's going to get saved today by believing Jesus is the Messiah. And so God raised up Paul. And through the Apostle Paul, He has manifested His word. He said, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Wow. How can people read verses like that and then deny the authority and the doctrine given to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul, who had the message for eternal life for you and I. Look back in Ephesians 2. Should still be there in chapter 3. Look back in chapter 2. Paul says there in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And I love verse 4. But God. You see, God had a plan, folks. God had a way. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. He's raised us up together. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The verse that Ben finished with this morning, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Can you imagine only God saving only those that had a great intellect and had superior knowledge and abilities, and they're walking around heaven boasting about how they got there. They had enough. They figured this thing out. And they got it all worked. But you know what? Instead, you got a bunch of people up there that most people never expected to be there, including me and you and the rest of us here. You know, people say, "Well, you can't believe like you believe it. You're preaching that cheap grace." You know there's got to be more to it than that. And yet there we are as trophies of His grace. There's that drug addict. There's that prostitute. There's that crook that maybe in the last moments of their life or the last day of their life or somewhere along the way, maybe in a jail cell somewhere, somebody had preached the gospel to them and they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mentioned a moment ago about Larry, and when he came to church here, it was him and another gentleman. And they began to attend on a regular basis. And one morning, I made the statement that if Adolf Hitler had received Christ the last day of his life, he'd spend eternity with us in heaven. That man that was here with Hoke, he got so mad at me, he could have spit nails. He came up to me afterwards. He said, "How could you make such a statement?" I said, "How could I make such a statement? Because it's true." I said, "If the Bible says by grace we're saved and it's by the power of the gospel, if that man believed the gospel, received Jesus Christ, wouldn't God be obligated?" He said, "Nobody like that could be saved." I said, "Well, are you?" He said, "Yeah." And he almost said, "But," he caught himself. You see, this man was one of great intellect, well educated. And he believed that he was somewhat a cut above other people. Listen, folks, the Bible says that we are saved by His grace, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through who? Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus in two good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. And then He gives them a reminder. He said to you, Ephesians, remember. You need to remember something. In time past, you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision, flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and you were strangers from covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you sometimes before all are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, our hope is not in what we do. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He is our hope. Why? Because He died for us. He was buried and He was raised again the third day. And the fact that He was raised again proves, folks, that there is a resurrection of the dead. Look back in Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 20, Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't you love that phrase? So might grace reign. You know what reign has to do with? It has to do with a throne of dominion, of authority. You see, folks, grace has the authority today. It's not the law. The law was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. It's not the good works. Grace reigns today. We're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. And as that grace reigns, it has the authority. So that, listen, people can say what they want to about you. They can deny that you're saved because of your actions or your affiliations. But if you're saved, you are in Christ and you have the hope of eternal life. And nobody can change that because we're under the reign of grace. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Look over in Romans chapter 6. In verse 23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a hope. It's the hope of eternal life. And that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. How is that hope conveyed to people? Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. You see, You don't convey this hope by telling people if they commit their life to Christ, if they surrender their life to Christ, if they work hard enough, do enough, or whatever, that they can go to heaven. The hope that we have, the hope of eternal life, is through the gospel. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, And you that were sometimes alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for the body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. What did Paul say? He made it manifest through preaching, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's your hope, folks, is Christ dwelling in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look in verse 27. To whom God would make known What is the riches of the glory of His saints among the Gentiles, which is Christ Jesus, hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. You see, we read in Ephesians chapter 2 that there was a time when we were without hope. But today we have hope, not because of what we do, but because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope comes from God. And that hope is not, it's not like I hope that I'll lose 10 pounds in the next month. I do hope that. I've hoped that for years. But let me show you what that hope is. Look in Romans chapter 8. You see, sometimes the word hope in your Bible is used as the act of hoping for something. But most of the time, when it simply talks about our hope, it has to do with a confident expectancy. It stands for it's like faith. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul says there in verse 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For that which a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You see, we have hope in the gospel. We have hope in Christ Jesus. And it's a confidence. It's an expectation. We haven't seen heaven. We haven't seen God. We haven't seen Christ. But we have a book that conveys unto us the message of Jesus Christ. The message for you and I came through the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles. It's written down in 13 books in your Bible, Romans through Philemon. And through that message, we can have the hope of eternal life, the hope of eternal salvation, the hope of eternal righteousness, the hope of the glory of God that we read about there in Colossians 1. And we have the hope of the appearing of Jesus Christ. Look in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2. Paul said there in chapter 1, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." In Titus chapter 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Notice, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You see, our hope today, folks, is number one, is that we would be able to go and be with the Lord without dying. Every time someone I love or know passes away, and you go to a funeral service or you conduct a funeral service, the thought in the back of my mind is, I hope this is the last one that I'll ever conduct. I hope that before another person I know passes from this life, that the catching away would come, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior would take place, and we would be caught up together in the clouds to be with the Lord, and so should we ever be with Him. But if that doesn't take place, it still doesn't change our hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll finish up here. 1 Corinthians 15. I love that song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." It's not in our ability. It's not in our flesh. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable." Think about it. If Christ was not raised up, and the Bible says He was raised again for our justification, then if He was not raised up, are we justified? No. We're still in our sins. But folks, we have the hope because of what Christ did and what He accomplished in our behalf. When He went down to Calvary and died for us, He was buried, He was raised again, and because of that, we are not of all men most miserable. You know who are of all men most miserable? Those that have no hope. Those that have no hope. They might not even realize it, but that's a miserable existence, to not know that you have life beyond this life. And in Christ Jesus, we have the hope of eternal life. And we can rest in that, particularly for those that we love and know that have gone to be with the Lord, because they had a hope. We've had several people, as I say, pass away in the last few years, or the last 18 months, and even before that. And it was a wonderful thing for those that were still in their right thinking, because in every one of those situations, it came to a point where those people who were saved came to a point where they were ready to depart this life. I never will forget the last time Mary and I visited Charlie out there at their home in Ootawah, and Joyce had gone out to the store, and we were sitting there, and Charlie said, "You know, Brother Steve, I ought not to be here." He said, "They never should have put me on that ventilator." And I said, "Well, Charlie, we're glad they did. We're not ready for you to go." He said, "Well, you might not be, but I am." He said, "I've had enough of this." He said, "They might not ever put me on another one." Wasn't long after that, Charlie went to be with the Lord. Jim Abels, same thing. Told Derek, "No more. No more machines." He was ready. You see, folks, we can have great and wonderful joy in knowing, we know through hope, that those people were ready to go because of their relationship and their knowing that they were saved and in Christ. I remember when I stood by the bedside of Mary's dad, and he had an aneurysm, and the thing had broken, and it was bleeding internally, and he only had a few hours to live. And we were hoping that he would live until his daughter got there from Dallas, Texas. And he said, about 2 months before that, we had had him at a doctor's appointment down at the Spain Rehab Unit there in Birmingham, and he was struggling to get back in the car out of his wheelchair. And he looked over at me as Mary was going around to get in the driver's side there, and he went like this. And I said, "No, it don't want that." And so that day, he looked me straight in the eye, and he said, "Finally, I get to go home. Finally, I get to go home. I hope you have that hope, that kind of hope, that kind of assurance. And if you don't, you can, by this morning, receiving the free gift of salvation, being sealed under the day of redemption, and knowing that when you take your last breath upon this earth, that you're going to be in the presence of the Lord for eternity. That's our hope of eternal life. Would you stand with me for prayer?